Well, he's a former governor of Arizona. He's a venture capitalist today. He was a founder of a culinary school. 10 years ago, he saw something, but we all didn't know about it then, but we sure do now. Fife Symington, our guest on Coast to Coast. Governor, how are you?
Fine, George. It's an honor to be on, and I'm a big fan.
Thank you. You know, I'm here in St. Louis, and your last name has got to have some kind of relationship with our late Senator Stuart Symington.
Yeah, he and my dad were first cousins, and my dad is 96 and still doing really well. And of course, Stuart passed away some years ago, but he was a great friend and quite a role model, actually.
Oh, absolutely. They love him here in Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
Fife, let's go back 10 years ago, the Phoenix Lights, thousands of people witnessing something very strange over the skies of Phoenix. Tell us about what you saw and why the spoof, first of all.
Well, the spoof came several months after the major event and sightings, which occurred around the 13th of March. My press conference occurred in June, and there was a sort of another wave of publicity about the Phoenix Lights. In fact, a kind of a building hysteria. And I, you know, I just thought that we needed to kind of add a little bit of levity to the situation. So I, we did this spoof, but it was really misinterpreted by a lot of people. And you know, I certainly am sorry that if it offended people that are interested in UFOs, because I always have been, and it really wasn't meant to be an effort to ridicule. It was just simply a spoof to kind of break the momentum of a lot of hysteria that was building about the issue.
Okay, so let's tell us in your words what you think you saw 10 years ago.
Well, I mean, I know what I saw, which in the evening was this sort of V-shaped object with extremely bright lights, large lights, on the leading edge, very dark, absolutely quiet, moving across the desert sky. And where I saw it was just a little bit north of Lincoln and Glendale in the valley. And it was moving, I think, to the sort of the south-southeast towards Chandler. And it was breathtakingly large. I was in the Air Force, and I'm a pilot, and I know most things that fly and have a pretty good eye. And I took one look at it, and I just it was just breathtaking. And I thought, oh my, this is this is the real thing. This is truly a UFO. And to this day, I believe it is. I don't think there's ever been a terrestrial explanation for what I saw.
You know, of course, the government cites flares in the sky and things like that. Do you think that kind of embarrasses, I think, the entire UFO community when reports like that come out?
Well, you know, that was sort of the first time that I've dealt with that, you know, firsthand, when I've seen something that I recognized as what I call otherworldly. And then there are all these ridiculous explanations that are dumped out by sources, I guess, from the government. And of course, flares don't fly in formation, hold it sort of a geometric formation and fly and move across the sky. That's not how a flare behaves, or hold a constant altitude. And the other, thing that was thrown up was that it was a flight of A-10s, which are the called the Warthog, the tank killer aircraft. And I know a lot about A-10s, and they're very noisy. And this was definitely not a flight of A-10s, so that was absurd on its face. But it's really, I never really expected to have this kind of an encounter, and it was, as I say, it was really breathtaking.
Okay, now why did you decide 10 years later, Fife, to come forward with what we're talking about tonight?
Well, it happened because last summer, a gentleman by the name of James Fox, who filmed a documentary called Out of the Blue, which I saw in advance of being interviewed by him, he was putting together a whole new rendition of Out of the Blue. And I was really impressed by the quality of the material he had, because he's taken probably the most extraordinary UFO sightings and has tremendous credible people behind it, generals and admirals and all kinds of interesting people. And he covers the subject matter really well. And so he asked me to, just as you did, to explain my spoof, why I did it, and that sort of led to, he asked me the question, well, did you see the lights? And I said, yes, I did see the lights. And he said, well, why haven't you said anything before? And I said, well, frankly, nobody ever asked me. And, of course, when I was in public office, I was reticent to, you know, to acknowledge that.
We're going to be talking with James in just a moment, Fife, and you are right. He has done an incredible job on this subject matter. And, you know, for years we have all been trying to investigate cases of UFOs, coming across incredible cases, but always stumbling into roadblocks because the information from higher-up sources is never given out. Some of it leaked. Some of them from high-level government officials who don't want their names known. Others, like former astronauts, would come forward and say things as well. Where do you think we are today with investigating true UFO reports?
Well, I think we're inching closer to full disclosure. And I think that the efforts that you make and that James Fox makes with Out of the Blue, which will be out in a couple of weeks, will really stir the pot. And of course, last week we saw the French government release their 50-year-old files on the subject matter, and there's some absolutely fascinating issues that they acknowledge are just beyond our earthly explanation. So I think it's beginning. I think we're entering a new era here where things will come forward, and it's about time, because I for one, it's nothing to fear as far as I'm concerned if we're dealing with advanced civilizations that have technology that's 50,000 or 100,000 years advanced over ours. You know, if they'd wanted to do harm, they certainly have had every opportunity to. So it's nothing to fear. I think it's really we should be open to it and fascinated by it and not be fearful.
A former Air Force pilot, James McGaha, says that he investigated a couple of the Phoenix sightings. He thinks they're A-10 aircraft. That's what they were, flying in formation. What's your take?
No, it was absolutely not A-10s that I saw. And there were hundreds of people who saw what I saw. Some saw it even closer than I did. But I can tell you that to my eye, there was no way that it was a formation of A-10s. And as you know, A-10s make a lot of noise.
Yes.
And this moved quietly, silently, deliberately, and was massive. It wasn't a series of aircraft. It was one big structure. So that, you know, that just isn't true.
Governor, you're being heard worldwide tonight. Millions of people listening to you talk with me, especially in Phoenix on KFYI, our number one station there. What do you have to say to your constituents who at least 10 years ago thought that they really saw something out of this world?
Well, I think that they're right. I mean, I think you if you saw it, you saw it. You should not sort of be talked out of that position. Nothing to be embarrassed about. I mean, it was there, and I mean, there were any number of eyewitnesses, and of course, frankly. Many people, probably thousands of people, saw the lights in the distance, you know, out west. It was really an extraordinary happening, and it was a privilege to see it. It was quite something.
You know, you are a former elected official, and the fact that you're coming forward now to talk about this, I think, will add such incredible credibility to this entire field. I mean, you may go on the circuit soon. You know that, Fife.
Well, I don't want to go on the circuit. I'm not. I was kidding James Fox when he was asking me about a series of interviews. I'm sort of in the post media phase of my life, but I certainly wanted to set the record straight with what I saw, and it was important because apparently and unknowingly I upset some folks in my home state, and I certainly didn't mean to do that. I have a side of me. I enjoy a good prank once in a while, and my spoof was meant to kind of lighten the mood, and that's all it was. It was not an attempt to ridicule this.
Well, it takes a big man to apologize or to admit that maybe he made a mistake, and I think you have done some just incredible justice to the field of ufology now with this.
Yeah, well, thank you, George. Thank you.
So where do you think we go from here? Let's assume for a moment that whatever was seen over the skies in Phoenix was out of this world, was extraterrestrial. The mere fact that we're being visited, probably have been visited, I think is absolutely astounding. Why do you think, Fife, if this is all true and the government knows about it, they just don't tell us?
Well, for one, I don't think that their explanation would be any better than ours. It's something that none of us really can comprehend in our current knowledge of science and physics, the way we the way we view the world. And so I don't know as the government really can be a big help, but I think what they need to start doing is not sort of automatically rejecting every sighting and saying it's swamp gas or it's a flares or A-10s. I mean, I think that there needs to be a more honest and vigorous pursuit of these things in a very open and public manner. And I hope that they, I hope that they undertake that kind of a mission in the future.
I think 10 years ago you initially only told your wife that you had seen the lights. What was her reaction then, 10 years ago?
Well, when I walked in the door and I came back home, she sort of said, well, and I looked at her and I said, I have seen something that is just absolutely astonishing. And we just kind of both looked at each other and talked about it a little bit and that was it, really. I mean, I was sort of a little overwhelmed, actually, by the whole event.
What was going through your mind, Fife? I mean, did you immediately think, this has got to be extraterrestrial? We can't have an object, a craft this big.
Yeah. Well, if we do, and if it's a top-secret endeavor, why in the world would they fly it over one of the largest metropolitan areas in America? That didn't make much sense to me. So I immediately concluded that, my gut told me that this was really otherworldly. I just sort of shook my head and just found it hard to believe that I was lucky enough to see it. It doesn't happen frequently, but it does happen. In Chicago, the O'Hare, a couple of months ago, they had major sightings with airline pilots involved and everything in O'Hare, and nobody's been able to really explain that.
The last several months have been some incredible moments for UFO sightings, of course, but, man, I don't remember one like the Phoenix Lights in a very long time. Dr. Lynn Kitai, you probably know her name by now, I think did just a tremendous job going public, risking her career, sticking her neck out. What do you think for a politician today? Let's say a politician who is either in office or wants to get elected, if they were to come forward and say, I believe in extraterrestrial life, I believe we've been visited, what do you think the general public would do? How do you think they'd react?
Well, that's really an interesting question, because I think that the moms and pops out there, the real voters out there, probably listen and appreciate the candor and the honesty of someone's position on the matter. But a public official, though, often is seen through the lens of the press and the media, and the danger in the past has been that they will be immediately ridiculed by the press and the media, and that seeps through to the general public and sort of distorts the situation. So it hasn't been, I don't think, easy for people because of that, the distortions that occur through what I call the media filter. And that's why James Fox, with his movie that's coming out of the blue, is really going to be helpful, because he's just going to blow a lot of that nonsense out of the water.
Did you ever see the movie Contact with Jodie Foster?
Yeah, I did, yes. Yeah, I thought that was a wonderful movie. I really did.
It's one of my favorites, and I think when you think about this and what you saw and what so many other people in Phoenix that night saw, it is remarkable.
Well, one of the most poignant parts of that movie was the fact that she, and was part of the theme of the movie, was that she came under such intense attack, for her beliefs and what she had seen. You remember that well, I'm sure.
Yes. Absolutely.
And that speaks to what I'm talking about and why what James Fox is undertaking is so important, because we need to kind of have the trump card here with the other members of the media who like to sort of jump on this and distort it and say, oh, my gosh, that person's going off the deep end.
If you had it to do all over again, Fife, 10 years ago, while you're still the governor of Arizona, what would you do?
Not a fair question.
I think you'd come forward.
Yeah, you know, probably I would now. Yeah, probably I would. Yeah, I was a fairly candid fellow when I was in public office anyway. But you know, the timing of that probably wouldn't have worked under the circumstances at that point in time.
Man, well, you went through some rough times, but
yeah.
You came out
well,
of it okay.
Well, that's life. You know, you have your ups and downs in life, and you march on, right?
You got that right. Fife, thank you so much for being on the program. I'm going to keep you on hold. Producer Tom needs to talk with you, okay?
Thank you, George.
All right. That's former Arizona Governor Fife Symington, who comes forward about his UFO sighting from 10 years ago, what all of us have called the Phoenix Lights. Now, in a moment, I'm going to be joined by James Fox. James has produced this DVD, this movie called Out of the Blue. It's an amazing, amazing story. We're going to talk with him. And then later on this half hour, we'll open up the phone lines and we'll give you an opportunity to talk with James Fox. I'm George Norrie. Thanks again to former Governor Fife Symington for being on the program. We'll be back with you in just a second on Coast to Coast AM. Well, okay, Out of the Blue, a new feature-length documentary on the UFO phenomenon. This is riveting material, everybody, riveting. And we've got with us James Fox, creator. James, this has taken years to put together. This is the fifth anniversary of this movie, I believe. And you are updating it, right?
Well, one thing I'd like to state up front is that I want to send a thanks out to the co-producers, my co-producers Tim Coleman and especially Boris Zuboff, who's working feverishly to get this thing out in April. And it's been a work in progress. It started 12 years ago, and sort of a culmination of interviews, and it just keeps expanding. And there are probably two witnesses out there that I'm still trying to secure, which will be, you know. Another version, but yeah, this is the latest version, which is completely revamped and all a lot of new, great new scenes. Obviously, a conclusion to the the Phoenix Lights case. All new animations, new graphics, and really beefed up. It's going to be hot.
What do you think about former Governor Fife Symington finally coming forward after 10 years? I mean, I think that's remarkable.
Well, you know, my jaw dropped when it happened because. Quite honestly, I really didn't know what to expect when he granted me the interview.
Yeah, now let's go back just a little bit. Yeah. You arranged the interview with him. Why'd you decide to interview him, the former governor? And then tell me what happened during the interview.
Well, it always kind of ticked me off, that little stunt that he pulled. And I just, for years, I just thought, why did he do that? There's all this speculation as to why he did it. He got a phone call. He was told to shut it down.
Uh-huh.
You know, because he did that press conference in the morning. Where he sincerely, or he appeared sincerely to want to get to the bottom of it, talked about launching an investigation, you know, with DPS and, making, inquiries. And then that, you know, later, obviously we all know later that very same day, he just makes a mockery of the whole thing. And so it appeared to me that somebody had gotten to him. That's, you know, but and I just always kind of was nagging at me, and I really wanted to resolve it. So, you know, I contacted him. Quite honestly, I thought it was going to be one in a million. As a matter of fact, Boris's wife, Patty Zuboff, I was going to doorstep the guy. When I found out he was a culinary chef, I was going to go to his restaurant and just throw a camera in his face. I mean, quite honestly. And Patty said, you know, James, you might want to consider being a little more, what was the word?
Were you going to order dinner first?
I know. You call this quiche? I know. We decided a more diplomatic approach, and to my amazement, he granted me the interview.
I guess you could have told him you were there to do a restaurant review.
That was,
and then,
you know, that
bang.
That thought went through my mind. Went through my mind.
Well, but you at least did it above board, James. So you're sitting down interviewing him, and tell me, how does this revelation occur?
Well, here's what happened. This is great. So on the way to the interview, I'm thinking, wow, this is so exciting. I can't believe I'm going to interview five times, and I wonder what he's going to say. I need to call Stacey Rhodes, who's featured in Out of the Blue, and maybe ask her, tell her what I'm doing. Then, of course, ask her, is there anything you'd like to talk, you know, say to the governor? She said, oh, God, yes, I'd love to, you know, mention something. So I took out my little pocket tape recorder and recorded a statement from her where she really kind of lays into him. And, you know, we sit down for the interview with the former governor, Phi Simonton, at his home in Santa Barbara. And about midway through the interview, I said, oh, there's a little something I got to play for you. And the cameras are rolling. He's sitting down. He has no idea what to expect. Talk about throwing a curveball, right?
Yeah,
so exactly. I press play, and there's Stacey Rhodes just laying into him. You know, you still think – I got the whole thing is in the film. I let it – you know, we pretty much left it uncut.
With his reaction?
We're filming him reacting to her. And she's saying, you know, you made a joke out of us all. Do you really, you know, still feel that there's a matter of ridicule? We've been, you know, we've never wavered in our, you know, description of this craft. And he made a big joke. Do you still think it's all a big joke? You know, and that's when he really kind of – he really opened up. I think it was a very effective way of going about it, because I feel like, you know, who could say it better than one of his constituents and also a witness to the event?
Two things have occurred in the last year that have been dramatic for the – I guess three now. One would be the most current, the French government beginning to release its UFO files. The other was former Defense Minister of Canada, Paul Hellyer, coming forward saying, you know what, I believe that there's something big here and it's extraterrestrial. And, of course, then former Governor Phi Simonton coming forward. Do you see this as a pattern, James?
Absolutely. Not only do I see it as a pattern, but I'm really excited about, you know, the direction it's going, because I'm one of these tenacious bastards that really likes to break stuff. I don't like to stop until it's done. And I've been really frustrated with this story. And I can only imagine other, you know, researchers like Stanton Friedman, who's, you know, I take my hat off to him. And,
yes.
And I couldn't even go into all the rest of all the hard work they've done. And how frustrating it is, you know, that everyone's, you know, the news anchormen are up in arms saying, where's the evidence? And yet it's right in front of them, and they won't look at it. And so now I'm seeing this wave happening. I just want to keep the momentum moving forward. And I can't really release too much information what's happening right now, but it's very likely that I will obtain some additional interviews from some very, very, very credible people in the near future.
Good job, James.
I just want to keep the forward momentum.
When we come back, I want you to tell us where you can get Out of the Blue when it comes out in April, which is not too far away, James.
I know.
And also, I want to talk with you about former astronaut Gordon Cooper, the late Gordon Cooper, about his incredible UFO sightings. Edgar Mitchell, a dear friend of ours. And we'll also open up the phone lines. So all this is next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with James Fox. We're going to take your calls. James, when this comes out in April, how do people get it?
Well, here's what I'd love to ask people to do. Right now, the film is not available, but we have a list on our website. And even if you don't want to purchase the film, hopefully you do, but even if you don't, if you'd even put your name on our list, that would give us a lot more leverage when we go to a broadcast network or a distributor and say, look, you know, people want this material. And that would be very, very helpful to us. And so our website is outoftheblue.com, outoftheblue.com. And put your name on the list. Like I said, even if you don't want to purchase one, just specify that you're interested in this subject, or you'd watch it, or that maybe perhaps you'd buy it from a distributor, just so we can, you know, we can get this out there, because, you know, we feel like we've got the film that can break this. But we need your help. So
okay, and we're going to put that link right up there on coasttocoastam.com. As a matter of fact, it's already there. That's how fast they are.
Wow.
Thank you, Sean. Tell me a little bit about Gordon Cooper and his qualified testimony.
Gordon Cooper, I feel so privileged to have had the opportunity to meet with him. And, you know, there's a section in the film where I question, because They were filming a testing from some F-86 fighter jets, and I believe the date was 1952, but I'm not exactly positive about that. It's in the film. I'm sorry I don't remember the exact date, but apparently his camera crew filmed this flying saucer land on the dry lake bed in broad daylight, and he had the film footage processed and actually looked. I asked him specifically, did you see the film? Did it come out? He said, yes, I did. I held it up to the light, and I saw the frames, and there was a saucer on the ground. And that the special courier jet flew in from D.C. and picked the footage up and was never seen or ever heard from again.
Oh.
And later on in the movie, I actually in the interview, I say to him, you know, did you follow up? Did you follow up with this? Did you ever look into what happened to it? And he always had a sort of this monotone voice, and he never really raised his voice at me. But that time really stuck him. It's like he really fired back at me. I mean, really, you could tell that it's been annoying him for a very long time. And he's like, what, you know, who am I supposed to go to? When, what can I say? You know, I just follow orders, you know, and this type of thing. I could tell that he was very frustrated about that. And, but it's all in the piece.
You know, Edgar Mitchell, a dear friend of ours, Apollo 14, never saw a UFO, but he sure believes. And he told me once, James, that he believes beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have been visited here on this planet.
He's told me the same thing. he's such an extraordinary man, and I really admire his bravery for putting his neck out for all of us. And because, to be honest with you, if it wasn't for Edgar Mitchell, I probably wouldn't have ever produced Out of the Blue, because it was someone of his stature that was talking about it. I remember years and years ago I saw an interview that with him, and I was so impressed by his his ability to articulate his thought on this whole thing and just his presence and his gravitas that I just thought, my God, if a man of this stature is going to come forward on this subject, there's got to be something to it, because this guy is not an idiot. And it really, really, it launched, I honestly could say I probably wouldn't have ever made this film if it hadn't been for him. So, and I've told him as much. I really appreciate him coming forward and making that contribution.
Okay, let's take some calls. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
And, Mr. Fox, to me, disclosure is just the shock therapy that the world needs. The religions, which are causing so much problems on this earth, I think that governments are afraid to come forth, because once that disclosure is made, they are unable to predict the future, and this is why they cower. It's just this lack of, and plus you have the elite in the world that have a lot to lose when we find out that crafts are flying around, they're not using gasoline.
You know, James, he brings up something very fascinating, and that is, you know, the elite, those people who are constantly pushing us for a one-world government, they don't want this out. I think they believe they're going to lose control if it comes out.
I think it would have a very unifying, absolutely exactly what they wouldn't want, but it would have a very unifying, that's my personal belief, on us all, and that we'd see ourselves as what we are, and as, you know, human beings. So I think it would have a very, very positive, unifying effect on all of us. And I'm going to do everything in my power to to get this story out there. And, that was a great comment by that caller. Thank you, by the way.
First time caller line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Jesse. I was about 13 when the lights over Phoenix had happened. And I was camping in Casa Grande, which is 52 miles away from Phoenix.
Yes.
And I had a lot of strange coyote activity around my tent, to where they were up by my tent, scared to death during the time that the lights over Phoenix had happened, and I had actually witnessed that too.
So they were aware of something up there?
Yeah. I mean, they acted completely scared of everything. I mean, I'd walk out of the tent, and they'd look at me and just hunker down like a beaten dog or something.
I was just interviewing Jim Penniston about the Bentwaters case, and him and Burroughs talked about the animals that were really freaked out in the Rendlesham Forest that night. It's interesting you say that the animals have that sort of reaction, because that's exactly what Jim Penniston and John Burroughs told me.
James, of everything that you have in your documentary here of your film, Out of the Blue, any one specific thing just blow your mind?
You know, everybody sees it quite a little differently, but for me personally, footage-wise, I'm very impressed about this broad daylight footage of a flying saucer in I think it's in Suffolk, in England.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, this is finally one of those bits of footage that, you know, you can't look at it and say, gosh, what is that? Is that a, you know, it's, that's a flying saucer, and there are points of reference, and there are birds flying through the frame, and it actually goes through a cloud, so you get, you know, an idea of altitude and size. And so I thought, well, this is such good footage, I'm going to take this in and have it analyzed by, you know, Lucasfilm Industrial Light and Magic, which I did. And the guy analyzes it for us. It's in the movie. And that, to me, is like, if you want really good footage, I mean, that's, and he determined that it was definitely authentic. So in terms of footage, that, and then testimony, I would probably say Jim Peniston, which you guys have seen. But we have managed for the first time, finally, I think in history, to get all of Cabansag, John Burroughs, and Sergeant Peniston, the three guys that went out initially at Bentwaters, England, Rendlesham Forest, to testify all in the same film, as well as the general, Gordon Williams, and as well as Lieutenant Halt. So it's the first time I got a whole, and then, of course, we did Five-Star Admiral Lord Hill Norton, and then the Ministry of Defense, Nick Pope. So it's a very, very credible group of people talking about a very significant case that happened in England. And Jim Peniston's description of sitting with the craft on the ground is just mind-boggling. I mean,
oh, that's phenomenal. Exciting. Were you based, James, by the way?
Just north of San Francisco.
Okay. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us with James Fox. Hi there.
Hello, James and George, Brian in Oceanside.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. You were mentioning the Daylight Disc film. I wonder if you'd seen the one that was shot in Mexico. It was around an apartment building.
Yes, that's not it.
Oh, okay. That was amazing, too.
That was amazing, yes.
Oh, just totally convincing. But anyway, I was wondering if you heard of somebody named Al Chop by any chance. He was the head of the Project Grudge.
Oh, you know, because Project Grudge morphed into
Blue Book,
right?
Right.
You know, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know Al Chop.
Well, this is time to...
Oh, wow. We got a...
Yeah, we lost
He got
him.
Chopped off.
They clipped him. They have a way of doing this, James, whenever they want.
Well, there's some really interesting developments. I wish I could share these with everybody right now, but I just can't. But if they keep, if we keep making progress in the direction we're going now, it's going to be phenomenal. And I just keep my fingers crossed and moving forward with this whole thing. But
sounds like you're getting some sources, some high level sources that are ready to come out of the closet.
I'm getting very, very, very close to him.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there. Hello?
Hello, is this me?
Yes, sir. Take it away.
Hi, guys. Just a couple of quick questions. James, in regarding the information you've got in the Phoenix Lights and that, do you have a rough idea of credibly how many people feel that they actually saw it? And what's the feeling for what really the shape of this object was?
I would say hundreds, if not thousands, saw it. But you know, the military did a very brilliant move, made a very brilliant move that evening, where they to obfuscate the whole matter. I mean, this is just my personal belief from the witnesses I've talked to. I think that a boomerang-shaped craft, probably a mile across, was witnessed by hundreds and hundreds of people across the valley in Phoenix, Chandler, and that area, Sunny Slope. And then I think at around 10:30, the military did a genius move and planted a bunch of flares over a ridgetop in a shape of a V, just to kind of muddy the water, so to speak. And it was a very effective way of confusing the whole issue. I mean, I don't know what's that gentleman's name that just came out now and said something about the A-10.
That was the former Air Force pilot James McGaha.
He's probably very well right. Yeah, people did see flares, but the people who saw the craft saw the craft. I mean, people were like, it went right over my head. I mean, it's just ridiculous, like comparing apples to oranges. You either saw the flares that the military put out there to muddy the waters, or you saw the craft.
And, James, there were other sightings around the country, almost as if this object continued going across to the east.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know what they saw, but I have a feeling it was out of this world.
It's certainly the impression, yes.
Or maybe it was out of the blue.
From out of the blue.
You got it. Hey, James, I want to thank you for being on the program. Once again, give us your website, please, and tell people what would you like them to do.
Out of the blue, themovie.com, and I'm just, putting this out there to all you listeners right now. It's like, we really need your support. We want to break this case. And I want to thank Leslie Kane, and I want to thank Larry Landsman at the Sci-Fi Channel. And once again, Boris Zuboff, who's been working around the clock to make this all happen. And put your names on a, like, even if you don't want to purchase it, if you put your name on there, it would give us a lot more leverage with the broadcast and also some distribution. And once again, out of the blue, themovie.com. You can download some clips there, too. And it's been a real pleasure being on your show tonight, George.
Good luck, James. You're trying to bring out the truth, and I think that is so important. So whatever support we can give you here at Coast to Coast, you just let us know, okay?
I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's James Fox.